Tony McIntyre, one of the people responsible for that. Tony McIntyre joined us in the Jeff Blair Show. Tony, thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having us on, Jeff.
You literally cannot take your eyes off the TV set these next couple of days, can you? Because there's somebody you know or somebody you've seen develop playing in almost every game.
Well, we definitely, you know, it's an amazing time of the year. It's like you mentioned earlier, it's every single game almost where it means something. We got guys playing. We're up till, you know, 1 a.m. watching New Mexico State last night, unfortunately losing overtime. But, you know, the guys are really representing and playing at such a high level right now.
Tony, talk to me a little bit about this the story the New York Times wrote, which I found fascinating, about how Mike George, whose program, I guess you guys were, how would you describe yourself before you got together, before the two programs amalgamated? Were you, were you opponents? How would you describe your relationship?
I would say that we were heated opponents.
Okay.
You know, we had a, you know, obviously at the end we came together, but, you know, our players didn't like each other. You know, Mike and I didn't like each other. The parents didn't like each other. So it was a heated rivalry between us. But when we really sat down at the table and kind of put those differences aside, we had a common goal with what we wanted to achieve as a program. And what we were individually as two separate programs trying to achieve. And it made it really simple at that point to really, you know, amalgamate the two programs and just strive to try to take over basketball in Canada. And ultimately, our goal is to try to, represent for Canada and North America.
So the New York Times story says that Mike George ended up going on Deal or No Deal, picked suitcases based on the jersey numbers of his favorite NBA players, won $144,000, put half of it into CIA Bounce. This sounds like a great story. I'm hoping it's all true.
Every bit of it. We had talked about it, and we said, you know, this would be a great kickstart to assisting kids, and we wanted to try to expand what we were doing in terms of trying to give young adults or teenagers an opportunity to go to Europe and experience, just a different culture, a different, way of playing basketball. And that was one of the first things that we started to do when we put money back into the program. So it was just, you know, it really helped us a lot. It was a lot of our own money that was coming out of our pockets to fund trips and rent vans and pay for hotels. So it was a way to offset that a little bit and keep us from getting divorced.
hey, Tony, when did you look? You guys had to have the courage of your convictions to get this thing started. But when did you get the sense that, okay, we're really onto something here? You know, that it's not just, we're not just sort of helping one or two kids. We're helping a ton of kids. When did it really start to take off?
I would say, ultimately, in our minds, we knew we had something special. It was just a matter of, okay, when will other people realize how special we are? Because we had teams that had Melvin Ejiom, Tristan Thompson, Kofi Mensah, Dylan Ennis, all of those kids that played on those first teams when we came together. And so it was a matter of, okay, we know how much talent we have, but how do we go about convincing everybody else? And when's someone going to take notice of this? And it was probably about 4 years into it, when we started to go down to the States and people were really taking note and we were beating big teams and competing at a high level in major tournaments. So it was, you know, I'd honestly say probably about 3-4 years in when everyone else started to really take note.
Now, Tyler and Dylan Ennis are both in the, NCAA tournament. Tyler's a guy that's gotten obviously a lot of attention throughout the year. I'm just interested, Tony, and if you've had a chance to talk to any of the kids and just what their sense is of the tournament, because if you talk to guys who are in the NBA or guys who never played in the tournament before, they'll always tell you that first tournament is just something else, that it's not until you get out in the court that it really sinks in what you're doing and how it literally is. I mean, you know, you win or go home. It's very simple. There's no second chance. There's not too many events in sports, I guess, other than Olympic events like that. Have you had a chance to talk to the kids about what the experience has been like?
No, absolutely. I mean, I was in the hotel last night with Dylan and Tyler, and, you know, I talked on the phone with Nas Long and Melvin Ejim, who are playing today, and, you know, I saw Daishon Pierre play yesterday. So it's really a situation where they're embracing it. It's a new season. This is when they're little kids and they want to go on scholarship, the thing you want as a college player is to be able to play in March Madness. You know, you remember those school days where if you were lucky enough, your parents would let you miss school, or, you know, you had a good teacher that would turn it on. But that's what it was all about in terms of basketball. You dream of playing in it, and then you dream of hitting a big shot in it. And ultimately, you know, these guys are all competing in it. They love it. And just this experience is, you know, even me being around it, this is something that you just never see or would have dreamed that we'd have so many Canadians doing so well, you know, chasing their dreams in March Madness.
And, Tony, I've got to think that being able to take part in a lot of those AAU tournaments, some of the prominent tournaments in some of the big basketball states, that's really got to prepare these kids really well for it, doesn't it?
Well, definitely. I mean, we play on the EYBL circuit, and we have a lot of good relationships with organizations back at home that work with us. You know, the Grassroots, the UPlay, the Brookwood Elite, the Northern Kings, everybody's really, you know, contributing to this. And we're really just, you know, we got to continue to put players out and put them on a big stage and get them mentally, physically, and emotionally ready to compete. And I think that's been the biggest difference with all of our kids that are out there is, like you mentioned, they're no longer playing a role. They're a major part of these major programs that are competing, and our kids are ready. They go in and they're ready from the start, and a lot of them have NBA potential now. So it's no longer you know, just getting a scholarship. These kids are major parts of these programs.
Tony McIntyre is founder and owner of Nike CIA Bounce. With all the success this program's having, and all the kids that are going on to, as you know, we talked about, be star players. Is there a concern in your part that maybe the program gets too big, or it gets to the point where it's harder to manage? Just because I would think that the success of these kids is probably attracting more kids to Nike CIA Bounce.
I think we've always, you know, yeah, obviously there's a lot of attention now, but I mean, for us, it's a matter of, you know, facilitating a lot of relationships. Like I mentioned, with all those teams, you know, with Canada Basketball, with the high school coaches, and being able to give kids a good opportunity, whether it be, you know, on CIA Bounce on the EYBL team or at the 16, 15, 14 age, or whether they're playing with UPlay or some of those other programs. We're able to still help them and leverage our relationships with colleges and, you know, with prep schools and all of that. But really, we just focus on making sure that we put the best product on the floor through, you know, making sure kids are educationally going to qualify, and as well as, you know, just being in the gym with them, making sure that athletically they're prepared. I don't really have a fear that we're going to get too big. But I do know that the future is extremely bright, because I think the kids coming up in the program may even be better than the kids, or just as good as the kids that are out there representing right now.
And Tony, have you found, this will be the last question, but I mean, we all know in a lot of sports, when it comes to development, when it comes to kids, and it comes to parents, there's oftentimes, you know, some petty jealousies that can kind of enter into it. Is it pretty smooth sailing as far as basketball in Canada goes right now?
I would say it's getting a lot better. Mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, the major players in basketball in Toronto are all getting along in terms of communication, in terms of working together on players, in terms of, you know, not taking credit for entire development of individuals. This has been a whole community of people from, you know, OBA programs to high school coaches, elementary school coaches, Team Canada, AAU coaches, everybody that's worked together to help these kids on so many different levels. So I think we're at probably the best time that I've seen in a long time, and probably the smoothest sailing there's been on the basketball scene in Toronto right now, just because the goal is all about kids. The goal is about getting them to where they can compete and represent for, you know, their hometown and for Canada as a whole. So it's probably the best it's been in a long time.
Tony, it was good of you to do this. Thanks so much. Best of luck to Tyler and Dylan and everybody else from the program and the tournament. And thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on.